This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. So with me today, we have co-founder Brian Goins.
How are you?
We have Heat Twitter president Alf. Can't speak today.
Hello.
He's not even looking at the camera, so sometimes I don't even know if he's paying attention. He's just looking down at his phone. Probably slandering on Twitter, unpresidential-like. Yes. We're probably presidential-like, considering how things are nowadays. We have Team Petty President, Hot Take Harry.
Hey.
We have special guests. Now, Casey, I can't say your last name, and I don't even want to try. Could you help me?
Sure, it's Wallach.
Wallach, okay.
Yep.
Is that Polish?
Czech, but I am part Polish, too. So,
oh, see, I was close. Yeah. And Casey, you are a producer. Where can people find your work?
Well, I'm a former producer. I used to work on the Andrew Powell Show it's been like almost a year now, but yeah, that's pretty much it. And then I've just been kind of doing stuff here and there in the meantime.
Casey's in Milwaukee, but she's a Heat lifer.
Yep.
She is a Heat lifer. And speaking of Heat lifers, I'm all in on James Johnson being a Heat lifer. Now, who saw that segue?
No
dude,
one did.
To quote our very own Lefty Lafe, that is what a Heat player looks like. I know he does dumb shit from time to time. Ah, damn it, Brian, I can't curse. I forgot. You can edit that out.
It wasn't me.
Good start to the show.
It wasn't Alf this time.
It wasn't Alf.
No, but like, honestly, and I know that we've talked ad nauseum at who they're going to keep and who not they're going to keep, and we're going to get into the win streak in a second, and we're going to make fun of the Knicks very soon. I'm thinking that James Johnson could be a part of the future, not because of his age, just because he's kind of this brand of power forward that Eric Spoelstra has been building on since Shane Battier, really. Like this brand of power forward that can defend multiple positions, can be versatile, can make decisions. We saw it with Battier, then we saw it with Luol Deng, and now we're seeing it again with James Johnson. And that kind of player allows him to coach that positionless basketball that he likes to do, and I just think that's really important to how he wants to make things run. Alf?
Oh, Harrison looked like he was ready to go. Like he was ready.
I just wanted to throw it to somebody. I don't want silence. Harrison, are you gonna call me stupid or what?
I always call you a name, so I don't want to do that.
We're changing things.
No, I don't like you. The Heat lifer thing is stupid because Wade made it up and then he left. Like a
that's
month.
What you took so, of everything I said.
No. You need to start and then you go into something else. So I like James Johnson. If they want to keep him for 2 to 3 years, great. He'd be worth whatever contract they decided to give him. But I mean, a stupid team is going to throw millions and millions of dollars at James Johnson, and he'll have to decide if he wants to stay with the Heat, where he seems to be very productive and where he's a key piece off the bench, or you know, if he's going to go waste his career on the Knicks or the Lakers or something like that. So, I don't know. Yeah, it'd be great to keep James Johnson. I don't know how likely that is.
But I think that they should probably overspend for him a little bit. Not too much, obviously, but they probably will. I think they should pay a little bit over market value for him.
What's overspending? I mean, the cap is already smaller than people thought for next season. And
oh, we're going to get into that later.
I think if you gave him like 3 for 36 or something, that's probably where I'd go, but I wouldn't
the thing is, you gotta see what the market dictates for a guy like him. And you know, when you have the conversation of who on this team, the one and one guys who you'd want to keep long term, I think he has to be at the top of the list. I think even beyond Dion, just because of like what you were talking about, how he's kind of the prototypical positionless power forward now. Like he can guard every position on the floor and he can play. I mean, he could be your power forward. He could be your small forward. He could be a shooting guard, for God's sake. Like he can handle the ball. He's so versatile. He can't really be put into a box, which is why I say, even if you look at what Dion's done and what he's done, I know Dion has been more flashy and it's been the bigger story, but overall, the guy I would say you might want to, like you say, overpay for a little bit is James Johnson.
Here's why I think they have a chance. And Casey, I want to get your thoughts in a second.
Casey just saw in person, like, James Johnson's best game of the season.
Right.
So,
Casey, what do you think? What, give us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I think, what did he have? He had something like crazy, like 17 points in the second half last night and all that, and he was all over the place. I mean, the hustle last night was pretty amazing to see, like, the rebounding and everything, but I don't know, do you consider him, like, you know, typical glue guy? Like, you know, like, you always consider Battier, you know, that glue guy. And I think he's got that potential to be that, and that's a valuable thing to have.
I think he kind of is that already.
Yeah.
And he does bring a lineup together. Like, whatever lineup you put out on the floor, like, James Johnson can kind of, you can put him in into any lineup, and situationally he can kind of bring that, make that lineup make sense. I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but when you have a mismatched group of guys out there, James Johnson can fit any role that you really need him to, which
He'll
is what I
move
like.
Guys into the positions that they need to be because he can do whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
I also think James Johnson gains a lot of respect in the locker room when you're standing up for teammates. The fact that he went right away and pushed the guy who had thrown the
ground. He's nobody.
He seems like the best teammate ever. He just seems like he has everyone's back. He's always cheering on the other guys. He just seems like an awesome teammate, an awesome guy to have on the team. Like, I don't know, I love the guy.
And he's a little Birdman in him.
Yeah, and he had the greatest quote ever after that game where they asked him about, you know, picking fights, and he said, "I don't think I can beat up everybody in the world, but I give myself a pretty good shot."
They I think they're going to have a pretty decent chance to keep him just because of the class of free agents this year. There's a lot of similar guys that kind of fit that role, like Otto Porter Jr., P.J. Tucker, Iguodala, Patrick Patterson, guys that are very similar to him in terms of skill set. Not skill set, but...
This win streak's making people some money, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well, it's going to make James Johnson money, and it's going to make Deion money.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And yeah, Willie Reed,
like,
too.
Really, really dumb. Willie Reed, like, there's a lot of dumb money right now. There's a lot of Knicks money being spent right now.
Deion is like peak Knicks, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, we need to flip Deion to the Knicks ASAP.
They want him so bad, right? Like, they're watching. Dolan's like, oh, that guy. That
we might be able to get Porzingis for Deion right now.
Did you guys see the video of Charles Oakley going berserk last night?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you couldn't see it. It was all over the place.
He went full Oakley.
Yeah. He needed like 10 dudes to restrain him.
Right.
Did you see he got 3 assault charges?
Yeah.
Only?
That's what I was about to say. Only.
Only? Got on me.
Like, come on, poke that one guy in the head. Like,
oh, that was. Such a disrespectful move. I loved it.
Yeah, but if we're being real, the Knicks need that kind of fight on the court. I mean, that's what. I know, like, 54 and he's gray now, but, like, get him out there, man. He'd box some people out, get some rebounds. They don't have any of that on that team.
What I appreciate about Oakley is he is disrespectful with his fighting style. Like, when he doesn't really feel that he needs to punch you, all his stories are about him slapping people. Like, he doesn't even feel like you deserve, like, a closed fist.
Right.
I always said the worst thing you could do is slap another man. Like, that is just complete. And then he went beyond just slapping. Like Casey said, he finger poked a guy in the face. Yeah. And the guy couldn't do anything. He's like, okay, Oak. All right, Oak. You're poking me in the face, Oak. That's my face, Oak. And he just sat there. He did nothing. And then the other security guards didn't even, like, jump in to help him yet.
Right.
They were like, okay, he's only finger poking. We might be able to defuse this.
It's disrespectful, but we can deal with this. We can deal.
It's just finger poking. Yeah. It was the forearm karate chop. That really got him into trouble.
Yeah, that was what took him over the edge. Like, oh, chill, dog.
But the thing is, I know that space he was in. I've been there so many times.
Every day we're like, in that space.
Where everyone's like, okay, big man, calm down. And then someone puts their hands on you and you just completely lose it. And you start karate chopping people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been there. That was like my 20s. Like, what you saw there was my 20s. And I'm talking the whole decade. Like, I didn't grow up until I was like 31.
I've heard the stories, too. It's true.
There was a lot of great Charles Oakley stories, too, that came out today. Like, Antonio Davis was talking earlier on SportsCenter and stuff, and, like, he talked about the time with Barkley in the elevator and all this. Yeah. I mean, like, all this stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I, you don't mess with him. It's funny, like, because I saw him on an episode of Chopped, like, on the Food Network.
Wait, what?
Yeah, on Celebrity Chopped a couple weeks ago. He was on there, and he looked totally, like, calm. You know, he's like, oh, yeah, he's enjoying his retirement, cooking, like, for 400 people at, like, Michael Jordan's golf outing. And, like, just was real serene. And then I saw that video last time, I'm like, oh, wait, no, he still got it.
He still got it.
Yeah. How many people in the Chopped audience do you think knew who he was?
Not many, probably.
Because there must be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't think one episode with like sports celebrities and everything that some of them were people from like 10 years ago you might not remember. Like, obviously, if you're like a foodie, Food Network fan, then you're not going to necessarily. But yeah, he was very serene, though.
He's a nice guy. He used to come into my restaurant when I worked in Atlanta in Buckhead.
Taco Bell?
No, this was Jason's Deli, and there was a cigar shop next door. There's a cigar shop next door, like a famous black cigar shop. So like you see Barclay, Oakley, you see like, and Oakley was so nice. Like, he's such a nice guy, but I'm telling you, he got that crazy in him.
Yeah, right, I mean, you flip the switch.
Yeah, I saw it, man. I know that look, man. It was like looking in the mirror. It was amazing. I hope I'm not like that when I'm 54. Like, that's
no.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just staring at a racist white owner, and you know, just he went off. It doesn't take much.
No.
Thank God he never played for the Clippers. My God.
Oh damn! Yeah.
Or the Marlins, though. Did you hear that news?
Yeah.
Ivanka Trump's father-in-law might own the team now.
Yeah, he spent 14 months in jail, so that'd be perfect for the Marlins.
He did for what? Yeah.
I don't know, some type of money laundering probably.
You get a criminal? That's awesome.
Lynching.
Lynching.
Oh my God. No, I don't think
No? That'd make it uncomfortable.
No, but before we got super derailed, I was going to say, like, people were all upset with the Heat free agency last year because of what happened. But the truth is, if you see what Spo can do with this team, like, we make so many guys money. So what players that have had off years and just want to come and try to resurrect their career, they can do it in Miami because we put guys in perfect spots.
Spo did it last year. Luol Deng, Joe Johnson, Dwayne Wade, like a bunch of guys made a lot of money. Like, there's no reason Luol Deng should have got that contract, or James Johnson.
LeBron James, man. Look how we maximize. I don't care that LeBron won in Cleveland. He's a great player. He's you know, arguably the best player ever. But what he did in Miami, he was an unstoppable force. Like, the system that we put guys in, regardless of their skill level, is incredible. Like, James Johnson was a fat lug on Toronto. Like, he could not move around. And he comes to Miami, and because Riley hates fat chicks, he loses like 34 pounds, and he's a machine. Like, he's a machine. When Ellington comes in, loses all this weight. Dion Waiters, who never listens to anyone, is suddenly quoting Spo. Percentage is way down.
Dude, compared to what he looked like before, come on, man.
Were Dwayne and Shaq the only ones that didn't listen to him?
Yes. What are you talking about? Dwayne has always been... Dwayne looks really fat this year.
Oh, yeah, he's Dwayne Wade this year.
Yeah, he's gay. I think it's that padding, man. His face is swollen too.
Oh, he has those big cheeks though.
Yeah, when you live in Chicago, you got to pack on weight for the winter.
Oh, yeah, he looks like a chipmunk, storing up for the winter. Oh, so, what do you see it in his face? He's got it in the cheeks. Come on, it's true. Like,
are you saying that because he's black?
No,
what?
It had nothing to do with what?
That has nothing to do with race.
He's a racist.
He is a racist, but you're reaching at this
point. I'm not a racist.
I was reaching for a joke and it fell flat.
I told you guys last time, my parents listened to this podcast. Like, we can't do this every time.
What do they tell you?
Casey, did you know that Harrison's a racist?
They're just
disappointed. No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, Alf, I think it might be heat-beat story time.
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not telling the Harrison racist bar story again.
We'll link it in the description.
Yeah,
for those who don't, it's a great story. But you need to know,
he took me to a Klan bar. That's what happened.
Yeah, that's not hyperbole.
Oh my goodness,
it's not true. It's not. I mean, you can, if you'd like to come visit this place. It's very nice. I mean, it's a white bar.
Just be careful of the burning crosses in the parking lot. Is all. Right.
There's a lot of that up in northern Wisconsin too, but you know, I don't.
Wait, so, Hillary, you fit right in.
That's a good question. Like, how did you? Are you from Milwaukee?
Yeah.
So how did you become? How did you become a Heat fan?
I get asked that a lot, and I was Bucks fan my whole life. Ray Allen was my favorite player when they went on that run in 2001 and everything, and then Dwayne Wade was playing for Marquette, and I just fell in love with Wade, and just kind of fall into the Heat. And I'd always been a big Pat Riley fan and everything done coaching and everything else, and so then it just became. Like, I became a total Heat fan, and, like, I love watching Wade grow through the years, and even when he left, I mean, I cried a lot, and...
I'm not alone.
But I'm still, like, I've fallen in love with the team and the organization so much that I still, you know, ride with them, so...
Now you're on the Dion Waiters train.
You want to know how Gianni became a sports fan?
No one cares.
No one cares. Or Anthony Chang.
What were we talking about before?
I forgot. I completely got lost.
I don't know. Dwayne Wade. Today.
Harrison, do your parents tell you anything when they listen to the show?
I mean, they don't really. They understand it's a joke because they know me, so they're not like thinking I suddenly changed, you know, since I moved out. But I'm sure they're wondering how something like that starts and why it continues. So,
boy, they're in for a treat.
Is it true what they say about you?
Yeah, I mean, I get that once in a while when I go home. So
fake
I
try news.
That's a funny. He is such a liberal dude. Like that's the best part about it. Like he is such a left wing nut, and I painted him as this racist.
You even went to the women's rally.
Yeah, you made up one story about me. Yeah, I was down in Miami marching with all the wonderful ladies down there. So I don't know.
You trying to pick somebody up?
You sat down.
No, I went with my girlfriend.
Oh.
But honestly, that's a really good idea. And that would be like, that sounds like a really good Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Like Larry goes to the women's march to try to pick up.
I was going to say It's Always Sunny.
If I was single, I'd been all up in that women's march.
I went biking.
I don't even know what that means.
You know what that means.
Okay.
You know what that means. Come on.
I knew what he meant. Yeah. I think we were talking about basketball, but I don't remember.
They win streak, right? 12 wins?
12 wins. 12 Okara.
Yeah, when's the streak going down? I think over the next
I thought yesterday was going to be it. I thought that was it.
Yeah,
I did too. But I think it's going to go down between... We're definitely losing to Houston next week, so I think it might happen before then. These three games aren't tough, but they seem like, you know, games where you might slip up a little bit. Like, Brooklyn's lost how many in a row? We might go in feeling a little...
Yeah, listen, there's no team that the Heat can't lose against. Like, let's
I know.
All pump the brakes. Like, people need to pump the brakes. Like I was listening to Zaslow and Tobin, and they're basically counting Heat wins. I'm like, what? Like, did you forget what was going on? Like less than six weeks ago. Like, you cannot chalk up anything to a like. No, Brooklyn could come in here and whoop our ass. Like,
no, Dion.
Yeah, and would you be surprised if we got our ass whooped by Brooklyn?
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if they go on a 10-game losing streak.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, just take it one day at a time.
But the interesting thing about last night is one of the big things on the streak has been how lights out the Heat have shot from three. And in the first half, they weren't really shooting well at all, but they still were up. So, you know, they were finding ways to score, to manufacture points. And
Harrison, you're right. That was, like, really encouraging that – What was the most encouraging is that, yeah, they won that game. Who did they play the other night? The Timberwolves?
Yeah.
And they 115 to 113, whatever that was, and you know Spo was probably livid. Win or lose, that they allowed the Timberwolves to score 113 points. And for them to come back with a really good defensive effort, like, it says a lot about the team. Like, okay, Spo's hot. We need to hold this team under 100 points. And, like, they came out there, and they, you know, they whooped the Bucks monkey ass. It was beautiful.
Right. I mean, they were all over the boards. Like, it was crazy. And Milwaukee couldn't rebound for crap. And, really, because I'm just watching, like, you're really not getting anything. And, like, but, yeah, the Heat, they were just offensively, defensively, just all over the boards, which is really nice to see, like, them having some hustle and all that.
Magruder was awesome yesterday.
Magruder was amazing, dude.
Yeah,
I played so hard.
I was ready to cut him in the first half or the beginning of the season. I was like, "What is this guy doing here? Like, we're losing guys left and right." And he's, dude. I mean, he had that one streak where he was guarding all these guys, and they. And they made him
bad. Torching him.
Wasn't it like Melo, James Harden, Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
but maybe that's part of the school of like Hard Knocks, you know? Like maybe Spo makes him guard all these guys and get killed, and it just motivated him. Because he looks really good. He looks like he caught up to NBA speed. At the beginning of the season, he looked like he was playing at D-League speed. And now... I mean, he's doing well. He did pretty well on Giannis last night. He was guarding him.
He's honestly beyond NBA speed. Like the loose balls that he gets to, like he has no reason. Like there's no reason he should be able to grab that loose ball. But he doesn't care. Like it feels like there's like a certain understanding between NBA players. Like that ball is bouncing. I'm gonna go for it. Everyone else just stay back. Magruder's like, F your stupid NBA rules. I'm from, like Hassan said, he's from that D League jungle. And he's going for it.
He's a honey badger.
He's from that jungle.
Honey badger don't give him.
He don't care about that. He's guarding all stars. He don't care about all that. It was beautiful to watch him play last night.
Hassan is having great post game quotes. He's on a little bit of a roll.
Mm-hmm.
The Goron, the last night. Although I actually liked what he said last night, and I know that like we can chalk it up to being ridiculous because it's Hassan, but like that sounds like an awful life. Like scrapping in the D League to hope somebody maybe picks you up because somebody gets hurt or something. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I think it's rough, but a lot of guys stay around because they're so close to the NBA. Like going to Europe is much more lucrative, but you know, staying close by, even though you're making not a lot of money at all, is kind of giving these guys hope. But that's why the two-way contracts next year are going to be super interesting for the teams that utilize them. Because man, people getting upset when the Warriors signed Weber is understandable, but yeah, I mean, listen. The Heat went with Magruder over him. That seems to be a better choice. And if the Heat wanted to open roster spots, they could have. There are certain things they could have done. If letting Weber sit there till February means that they like him, but he's not, you know, their number one choice. So people freaking out and calling Riley names, and we need to slow down on like hating these people. Riley seems to know what he's doing. Spo seems to know what he's doing. And I think we just need to appreciate what we have as Heat fans. We're lucky. Like, there's not a lot of you see the Knicks freaking out and calling Oakley names after that last night, and the Bulls are a mess. I mean, a lot of these organizations are awful. And so to consistently be able to look at the Heat and feel a sense of pride. I mean, even at 11-30, which was bad, you're like, all right, we can turn this around. We'll get a top pick. Now you're like, hey, we'll get a draft pick. We have assets we can move, and you know we're still the Heat. We're not in
the
dumps.
At 11-30, you were still saying, "Look how hard this team plays," right? And we were all talking about the process. How did they got great shots all the time, and they just had crappy players. And one of the things you're alluding to, Harrison, and about because I'm one of the people who love Briante. I want a Briante on this team, but what other fan base is so keyed in to their D-League affiliate that they get upset when a guy like Briante goes to another team? Like, that just shows you what the Heat have done with the Skyforce. Like, nobody else knows who their D-League affiliate is. Nobody, like, we know about Benson, about Weber, Okoro. Mm-hmm. Keith Benson. Stop acting like you don't know who Keith Benson is.
I don't know who the hell Keith Benson is.
Jankovic, like we know.
I didn't know what Okoro looked like until he showed up like in a preseason.
Nobody really knew what Okoro looked like. I still kind of don't. Like,
plus they do the games on Facebook Live now, so you can't see anyway. So it's not, you didn't really need to know what they look like. If you know their name, that's good enough.
But like, we know our D League prospects. Like, what other fan base knows their D League prospects? Like, so when people talk about
rhetorical question you just asked, because we're not part of other fan bases.
Casey,
do the Bucks fans know who their D-League affiliate is?
Well, we just got one yesterday. The Bucks finally got a D-League affiliate that's going to start in this coming season in Oshkosh up here. So they finally purchased their own D-League. So that'll be nice.
Wow. Spiders.
Oshkosh is a real place?
Yep.
Like, brand. Like the store Oshkosh Bagosh?
Yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to call them. Maybe the Bagosh is probably not.
Are they gonna wear denim outfits?
Yeah. Oh my god, yes!
Denim jumpers.
Yeah. Yeah, it might impact the shooters.
Denim jerseys.
It's a little overall, tight.
God. Like,
overalls. That would be. Yeah.
No, those are the warm ups.
Casey said they might call them the Bagoshes. They're called the Oshkosh Bagoshes.
Yeah, we had a bunch of names that we were coming up with funny stuff up here, and yeah, it's. They have you can go on the website, like, you know, fan vote for stuff, like, and submit suggestions and everything.
Well, we need to hack that poll.
Yeah, and I want a jersey if they're the Oshkosh Bagoshes.
Oh, yeah.
I'd buy some overalls.
The jersey should look like
Oshkosh Bagoshes. Okay. All right.
I want the Skyforce to do that now. I'm jealous.
It should be patterned like overalls. Like, that'd be cool. Or not. Or not at all. It wouldn't be cool at all.
No, I mean, that's clearly white the people. Coolest thing in the world. I mean, what are you talking
about? White people would be into that.
It's Milwaukee.
There's a lot of white people in Milwaukee, aren't there?
That's your customer
base.
Yes,
there are.
Milwaukee gets a bad rap, but I had a good time like one day.
Nobody said anything bad about Milwaukee. What are you talking about? Milwaukee
gets a bad rap.
I just said there's white people. Where'd you get it gets a bad... I've never heard of bad things spoken about Milwaukee.
When has Milwaukee ever gotten a bad rap? Like, ever.
What the hell? Where'd that come from?
Like, what's this Milwaukee slander you've been hearing?
I don't know. I've heard it before.
I don't know. I hear it for Cleveland and Detroit, not really from Milwaukee.
I heard it from the streets.
I don't know.
Well, there was, like, a big conflict, like, when the Bucks president, Peter Fagan, said, like, in October or something that Milwaukee was, like, one of the most segregated racist cities in the country and everything. And it got taken a lot out of context and all that, but it blew up into this whole big thing and everything. So that's where a little bit of that comes in, but they've kind of smoothed that out a little.
That is 100% not what Harrison was talking about. Like, Harrison had no idea about that controversy.
I think Harrison likes it a little more now.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Wait, what? He's
segregated.
Jim Crow? His ears are going to go.
Oh.
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Citrin.
Jim Crow make me laugh every time.
I just found an Instagram picture by
of Jim Crow?
No. I just searched Milwaukee slander on Twitter, and the first thing that came up is a picture of Joel Embiid tagging himself in a picture next to a Milwaukee Bucks player, and it says Bleephole as a location. That's his location.
Oh my god, that's funny. I wish we could name this podcast Jim Crow Makes Me Laugh Every Time, but we're corporate sponsored now.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
Staples will not appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't think
Harrison's parents wouldn't appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think Geico and who else sponsors us? What was the other one I heard?
I don't know.
Sorry, Almighty Baller. Listen, we'll talk about basketball to make you feel better. I was looking at some numbers, and the Heat's field goal attempts that are considered open overall for the season and during the streak, they're almost identical. Obviously, they have a little bit of a bump during the streak, but the numbers are almost negligible. Almost like 40% of their shots are like open to wide open.
Yeah, but we said that. We've been
saying that. No, I know, but I'm giving proof. Like, it's not just us. Because I heard Lebatard talking about that, and I know that we've talked before about how a lot of sports radio and a lot of sports analysis, especially with this team,
sucks.
Is lazy. Yeah, it sucks, and they're just talking nonsense like, oh, shots are just going in, they're taking bad shots. No, they're taking good open shots that are finally falling because guys like Wayne Ellington are healthy, Deion Waiters is on a bit of a hot streak, and Goran's on a hot streak, but they're good shots that they're taking.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it was...
Go.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but at the beginning of the season, it was basically the Heat were getting to the paint, and they were, you know, first or second in the league at shooting corner threes, and now those shots are falling. Like, but the repetition is what's helped them to get there. Like, you just don't – they're not – you know, look, Deion takes some heat check shots. Like, the one that he made over the Warriors to win the game is not like the shot you draw up. But, you know, when you're feeling it, you're feeling it. And so if you're repeating this process, which has worked for Spo's whole career, where you get to the paint, you get to the line, and then you hit the corner three, which is the most efficient shot in the game, you know, you're eventually it's going to work. And it just like it's clicked at the same time. And listen, it helps that, you know, I think we saw only three of the teams on the streak have been over 500, but we're just playing good basketball. And that's why you've beaten teams like the Rockets and the Warriors, and you've really been playing well. Did we wait? Did we give Crab credit for his ridiculous prediction in the Minnesota game the other night?
It was a ridiculous prediction.
At halftime, he was like, I think I forgot what the Heat were up by, and he said, "Oh, the Heat are going to win by two, and it's going to be a cluster bleep." And it was amazing. It was amazing.
The cluster bleep.
It really was.
I mean, the end of the game was like watching. I think I don't know if you said it, Alf, but it was really like watching a team that couldn't break a high school press.
No, yeah. I go
it
to my
like
kids
college basketball.
I go to my kids' tournaments every weekend, and that is exactly what a team that doesn't know how to break a press looks like. Jump passing for no reason into the hands of the opponent.
What was the most egregious mistake made in that game? Because I'm all in, and not the James Johnson turnover. The fact that he thought it was a good idea to pass it to Hassan.
It's never a good idea to pass it to Hassan.
It's not a good idea at the end of the game. I mean, listen, the Heat have been doing, especially the last two seasons, they want their big guys that can dribble bring up the ball. Like, letting James Johnson bring up the ball has been a big turnaround this year. It's been a big reason why he's been so effective. But get the ball to your point guard at the end of the game. Like, let him make the decision. And so that's kind of – I give it to Goran.
The best thing about that game and why Spo should win Coach of the Year is that he blamed himself afterwards. Like, oh, it's my fault. I didn't put them in position to win. Like, are you kidding me? These are a bunch of grown men who can't handle a full court press. Like, the coach has nothing to do with that. Like, when James Johnson leaves his feet, or whoever it was, Okoro, leaves his feet and, like, throws a two-handed chest pass – right at the other team at Brogdon, whoever the hell, I don't know any Timberwolves players. What was it, John Lucas the third?
Yeah.
Wasn't Wiggins.
Wiggins didn't steal the ball. Like, it was just dumb. Like, it was just bad basketball. But for Spo to take that blame, like, he deserves Coach of the Year.
Wasn't Minnesota where Norris Cole had threw it out of bounds?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I think it's just a bad place for us. We have certain arenas where we just kind of lose our mind, and it seems to be a repeat of that.
That game was kind of nice because I never felt like they were going to lose it.
I did.
You did? No, I didn't. I had this weird, like, I used to feel that way about the Big Three Heat, that you knew that even if it was, like, bad, that you never felt that they were really going to lose the games, even if they're down 20. And that kind of reminded me of how it felt to be good, even though it's an illusion.
It is, but you know what I used to like about the Big Three Heat? And you always do this, Gianni. Like, you always make us go back to the Big Three Heat, and I hate it that you do it, but now you've suckered me in.
It's so fun!
My favorite thing about the Big Three Heat was, like, watching another team, like, their bench, get really hyped up, like, when they got, like, an 8-point lead. And I was like, just wait, bitch. Just wait. Here, flying death machines soon come and destroy your entire world. Like, that was my favorite thing because they get so hyped up, like, oh, we're beat, you know. And I guess that's kind of, we're in their spot now, like, when we get excited that we have a lead on the Warriors. And probably Warriors fans are like, yeah, just wait, Goran Dragic. We're going to, you know, we're coming.
Just wait, Rodney Magruder.
Yeah. Oh, Okoro White, we're really afraid of you. So we're on the other side of that coin right now, but I used to love that. Like, watching, like, you know, some scrub wave a towel. Like, all right, just wait, bitch. We're coming. Don't worry.
How annoyed do you think teams are when, like, Okoro White and Rodney McGuire are hitting?
Oh, my God. I would hate the Heat right now. Like, what Rodney Magruder did on that chase down, like, not even a real steal, that, like, that phantom steal. Right. Where he waved his hand under somebody's elbow and they lost the ball. What was it? That was Jabari, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would lose my, you know what, Brian, you saw that. Self-censored.
I'm so proud of you. Yep. Wow.
All right.
My boy, yeah, Geico.
I would lose it if I saw a Rodney Magruder do that to my team.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell just happened, man? Like, did some, like, magic trick stuff and, like, what?
He did jazz hands.
Yeah.
Santeria. No, Santeria.
Threw it out of bounds.
I would, like, when that guy starts hitting threes against the Heat, I mean, I guess that guy is Marcus Thornton, like, or Wade Ellington or whatever. Like, that would just drive me insane.
Don't you ever speak that name again, Marcus Thornton.
They wanted, how many times did the Heat try to get Marcus Thornton? Like, I feel like every offseason they want him.
It's the Wayne Ellington deal. You just want him to stop doing that to you. So you sign that guy. Like, Marcus Thornton doesn't even look like he belongs in a professional sports league. Like, and I don't know if he had an accident as a child or why his head looks like that, but I can't co-sign that at all.
No, hold on. Allen Anderson on the Spurs. Have you seen
that? Oh, that son of a...
Dude!
Let me tell you.
Wait, he's on the Spurs?
Allen Anderson, yeah.
No, he was.
No. Who's the guy? Who's the Anderson guy on the Spurs with the big head?
Kyle Anderson.
Oh, God, dude, that guy's head.
No, Allen Anderson used to kill us, whatever.
Yeah, no, he did. He used to play for the Nets and the Raptors.
But I'll tell you, if I ever see Patty Mills in the street, I'm going full Oakley. Full Oakley. I won't even hit him. I'm going to slap him.
But last year in the playoffs, he had that play that he took out like three guys on an inbound, remember?
Patty Mills?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't care. I hate Patty Mills and his towel waving ass. I hate that dude. I'm telling you, I'm fighting Patty Mills. You name the podcast, Alf will fight Patty Mills in the street.
Brian,
I hate Patty Mills. He is the towel wavingest scrub on the bench that I hate most out of any player in the history of the NBA. And then he comes in and just knocks down threes, and only against the Heat. Like, he's never played well against any other team in the history of his career.
Stevenson evolved from towel swinging scrub to player you hate who's good to towel waving scrub again. He's done the whole parabola.
Spell parabola.
Yeah, oh my God. I was just going to say that.
Oh. Casey.
Do it.
Can you spell the word chemotherapy?
Yep.
How?
C-H-E.
How does everybody know that?
T-H-E-R-A-P-Y.
We're intelligent. Okay, Casey, guess how Gianni spelled chemo.
With a K?
She knows you. He spelled it K-I-M-O.
Oh, my God.
Like, we're having this super serious conversation in the chat about how much I love and respect Amber Wilson for her bravery and her candor. Like, I was like, oh, it was really, like, legit emotional. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're big fans of Amber on this show. Right. I like to say, we love you, Amber. Get well soon. You're the best. The morning show won't be the same without you. I want you to come back so I can harass you to come on our podcast. But so we're having this conversation, and like, it's emotional. I'm telling you, like, I'm gonna, like, if it's something happened to Amber, I'd be in legit tears. Like, I'm not a punk like Gianni, but I would cry over something happening to Amber. And then he comes in and says, "Oh man, she might have to have chemo," and he spells it K-I-M-O. And it was literally the most ridiculous misspelling I've ever seen in my life.
And that's saying a lot, because Gianni, you know, the spelling thing is not bad. Not his strong suit. But
no. He ain't winning no spelling bees.
No.
But to spell chemo, K-I-M-O, like, I was legit upset. Like, legit angry. Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. We should just have a spelling bee segment on the show.
I couldn't spell discussion yesterday.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't spell what?
I couldn't spell discussion.
What?
I was doing an assignment, and I just couldn't spell it, and I was very frustrated as to why the autocorrect would not, like, figure out. Or
you're
my...
so wrong that it can't even figure out what you're trying to type.
All the time. All the time, and it was so rushed. I had to Google it. I was so mad.
Oh, what happened? Like, as a kid, when your friends were like,
dude.
Books, are you just watching anime? Like, is it real? It is ruining your life.
I don't know. And it's like, I'm a journalism student. I mean, I'm not a great writer, but like, I write decent. You know, like, I'm bad at spelling.
Casey, we let Gianni edit our articles for a while, and we were like, he can't. Yeah, we didn't know. We didn't understand it was that. We thought it was like typos, you know, whatever. He's got
I remember reading some of the older articles and being like, who is editing this?
We just thought maybe like his fat fingers were getting into different keys, like whatever. We just realized like he cannot spell at all.
I would do videos for some like segments of the show, so I'd take like 1 minute clips and then I'd subtitle them, but then they were just written with misspellings. So they stopped doing them. It was so bad. And I would like check over it 7 times and then I'd post it like a minute later. Harrison, like, dude, this is misspelled. Oh, this is misspelled. Everyone, this is an embarrassment.
Yeah, no, you want to be credible, man.
Everybody got so mad. No, they're right.
Like, he would, like, it'd be like really funny show moments. And I'm like, yo, Gianni, take this segment, 1 minute of the show, yeah, make a little video. Like, because we're like trying to get these things, what viral or whatever you call it. And we can't because everything is misspelled. It's going to go viral because of how bad the guy who posted it spells. Like, that's not why we want it to be viral.
Exactly.
But it is doubly funny because Gianni can't use the English language. What did Crab say to you?
English isn't my first language, but no language isn't my first language.
No, see, you just butchered that.
Yeah, he said that English isn't your first language, but he doesn't know if you have a first language.
He said English is, you did it too. English is your second language, and he's not sure if you have a first.
Yes, yes.
That was
three times. Thank you, Alf.
Alf said the joke right.
That was so bad.
Yeah, but we built up to it. We're good.
So, Casey, if you'd ever want to come back on again, we understand.
No, it's fun. This is enjoyable.
To hang up. Oh, my God. Can you believe these idiots? This guy can't spell chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be said regardless.
I've been following you guys for a while, so I know that's, you know, just part of the charm.
That is true, Casey. You are, like, the greatest retweeter and favoriter of all Miami Heat-related tweets.
I told you guys, I love the content. I love the whole, you know, with the chemistry with everybody. It's a fun show to listen to, and there's good content, but like, it's not super serious, like stat pounding, all that stuff. Like, it's, you know, a little bit of fun here and there, and that's what makes a good podcast, I think, any good show.
It would be stat pounding if Alf wasn't here.
Yeah, because when you guys try to, I tell you, shut up.
When we're left to our own devices. Say we need you or Leif.
Casey, did you ever listen? Did you listen to the episode when Joy Taylor was on? We're having a fantastic time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all laughing. It's so enjoyable. And then G goes on this 45-second, like, diatribe about spread, pick, and roll. And like, we just sat there like, what are you doing, dude? Like, we're having a good conversation. No good conversation includes spread, pick, and roll.
No, I remember. Ever. I remember just like 10 seconds of silence and Joy goes, wow, that was pause thorough.
I was so embarrassed. I almost hung up on the show.
Oh my God.
And you've hung up on the show before, giving little fingers to our guests.
I did.
Shout out to Dutch and Kochi.
That was my Oakley moment.
Did you listen to the debate cast, Casey?
I hope not.
It was the Underground podcast.
Brian, do you remember our first emailer that from Britain?
Yeah, he wanted to bump cups with us.
Yeah, he wanted to have beers with us. That was when we were a small little podcast from an iPad.
And the number one Heat fan in Canada.
Oh, that's right. We were so international back then. We had a Heat fan in Canada, and we had an emailer from Britain. And that was it. And we'd like beg for emails every show. Do you remember that?
And now we get like mailbag questions left and right from Anthony Chang.
We steal them from Anthony Chang. We don't really get our own mailbag questions.
I love how he knows the drill at this point. Did we use any of his last time?
No.
No. Did he have any good ones? Do we want to do that?
Give me a second to look, but maybe.
Okay, you go be a producer and you go look.
I'm here. I just have something off topic, but like last Friday, you know, a real Marlins fan, Mr. Ratchet.
Oh my God.
Ratchet. You know, he does his, now he's doing Fry Ratchet or whatever Fry Ratchet day. And so last Friday, I'm scrolling through my timeline. There's some puppies in a video. And 5 seconds later, there's Boo. in a very sexual way. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then he's just more and more. I'm just like, I hate this dude.
Listen, I am not offended easily, but real Marlins fan on Twitter, like, I had to mute him. Like, I won't block him because I'm not going to block him for that. But I had to mute him. Like, that, like, because he will lure you in with a normal-looking video.
Exactly.
And then next thing you know is two girls, one cup, and you are grossed out and about to vomit.
Exactly. But he did, like, last Friday he was going nuts. So, I'm guessing, I don't know if he's going to do a repeat performance this week. But that was just a side note while Brian was looking some stuff up. But I was just oh, my God. Puppies aren't supposed to be associated with that.
I have a puppy, I know.
Brian has a cute little corgi. I've been at waiting rooms for meetings, and there are it's a bunch of people around me, and I'm scrolling through my timeline, and all of a sudden it's not suitable for work things, and I was oh no. And I scroll
those
past.
Are the worst. Those are the worst. Like when you click on a video and it's like a heat highlight. Or just like a basketball highlight. And then you click it, and for the first 3 seconds, it's a basketball highlight. And then after that, it's a woman moaning really loudly. Right. And you're in a doctor's waiting room. Yeah. And now everyone thinks you're watching porn in the middle of the waiting room.
Yeah, I muted him because it was just absolutely disgusting. And I couldn't. You can't afford to be. You're around people constantly wherever you are. You cannot be scrolling through your timeline and get hit with
two girls, one cup.
Right.
I'm trying to think.
It's autoplay, and it's just so anybody standing behind you sees it, and it's whoa, I'm not into this stuff, man.
it's real Marlins fan. It's
you ain't no real Marlins fan.
Autoplay is the devil, by the way.
Oh, no, I have autoplay. That's why I get caught by it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a funny story. So, as everyone knows, I like anime. And I follow anime accounts. And I followed... I remember there was an account that was retweeting, a lot of fan art. And it was, really cool fan art. And I liked it. And it was a bot. So, it would tweet every 20 minutes. It's a funny story, jackass. So, I think I followed it one day of the week. And then comes Friday. And I guess they had, Porn Friday. And I'm in an elevator scrolling through Twitter. And all of a sudden, the most graphic hentai ever shows up, and the three people behind me totally saw that. And I was so mortified, because we got off on the same floor, and we were going to the same client, and they just kept staring at me. And was oh, my God.
Was it that octopus stuff that you were always watching?
No, but it was bondage, and I was oh, no, no.
I was going to die. You were surprised by Hentai Friday? Seems like a pretty normal thing.
No, that's not a thing I follow. I don't it's not what I followed the page for. I thought it was fan art, and it was nice, and it was really cool stuff, sure. And they'd even credit the artist.
No, that's fine. I mean, we know that's why you follow it, and you're just making the story up to make it seem like that's very surprising.
All know you like the octopus stuff. Casey, how attractive is a man that is way into anime?
It's very heteronormative of you.
What?
How attractive? Okay, sorry, Casey. How attractive is anyone who's that into?
We're inclusive here.
Not very.
Thanks.
I'm just being honest. I mean,
Thanks.
I mean, I get if you like cartoons and stuff, if you like South Park and some stuff like that, Family Guy, whatever. You know, I don't know.
Trash.
The anime stuff just takes a little. I don't know.
It's fine. I'm fun at parties. Brian, do you have our mailbag?
Yes.
I would have ended the pod there. I'm fun at parties. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Do we want it?
No, you're better in person because you don't talk about this stuff as much. You seem to get a platform, a microphone in front of your face, and you're just hentai, anime, let's go.
But I don't even tweet about it much anymore because I made a separate account for it. So I don't bother you.
And then you retweet that account,
I don't. When do I ever retweet that account?
It's been
I did it today because the joke was funny.
No, it wasn't.
I think you do it once or twice a day, to be honest.
No, I don't do it once or twice a day. Sometimes I accidentally tweet out of my account thinking it's the other account. That happens a lot.
So that would be included in one of... Yeah, skip it when you're congratulating yourself on a great show.
On a great anime gif.
I'll sometimes favorite my stories to give them more impressions off the other account. I feel like I'm
God, scared. That was so sad. Why did you just tell everyone that?
Because those are stats that we use to go to sponsors and stuff. Brian, give me the mailbag, please.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat Mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHBMailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
Yeah, we don't want your questions. Send them to Anthony Chang. Let me find his at so I can direct you there perfectly. At Anthony underscore Chang. C-H-I-A-N-G. Just direct everything there. And if you have hate mail, send it there too.
Okay, can I ask a question about Chang?
Yes.
Is he Asian or Hispanic?
He's Cuban-American.
Is Chang a normal Cuban last name?
I don't think so.
You would think his dad is Asian, no?
Right.
He doesn't look Asian. He looks very much Hispanic.
He looks Spo-ish.
Yeah, he looks... Yeah.
Let's call him.
Because in his profile, he identifies as Cuban-American, so...
Does he? And he loves coffee.
Maybe that's kind of gearing towards the local audience and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but you could be Cuban-American because you like, you know, you like plátanos and stuff. I mean, I don't know.
Are we calling out Anthony Chang for denying his heritage?
No. I think he's an arrepentido.
It did sound bad.
He's an arrepentido.
Wait, so... Do you guys remember the joke when I asked him how many times has Hassan called him Coach Spo?
I don't remember that.
When are we going to start asking mailbag questions?
Oh my God. Do you remember when we thought
I thought I went too far, but then he favored it. And I was like, okay.
That guy gets the show, dude. Do you remember when we all thought that Hassan was the one calling... Who was it? Gordon.
Yeah.
Gordon.
It was Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Thank God Joe Johnson's out of my life, man. Yeah. I cannot.
All right, question. Play GM and assume that Bosch's salary is lifted off the Heat salary cap. Who can the Heat realistically get, and who should the Heat pursue?
Does this qualify as Bosch talk? Because we banned it.
No, it's Heat future talk.
Well, today's the 1-year anniversary of his last game, so.
Right.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Yeah, the Boban game when Hassan.
It's also the 1-year anniversary of Deuces.
It is the 1-year anniversary. Happy birthday, Deuces, to Mr. Mike Ryan. Brian, do you have that liner? Can you play it?
Can you get? He has Mike like Ryan, three things going on right now.
We'll answer the question while you try to figure it out.
I'm playing it. Shut up.
It's Mike Ryan. Just finding out the Miami Heat Beat podcast reached 100 episodes. Don't understand how. Deuces, perhaps my least favorite Heat podcast of all time.
What?
Happy birthday.
Fantastic.
Harrison, do you want to answer the mailbag question? Actually, no. Let Casey answer the mailbag question.
Let Casey go.
Okay.
Do you remember the question? Be honest.
It was something about Bosch and how much they picked up if they leave or let him go.
Who should he get? For Bosch's money, who should they target?
Who should they target in the offseason?
What a bad question, Anthony's readers.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really thought about it that much, but, I mean, you hear names like Blake Griffin thrown around, and I don't know if I like that either. But somebody else. I really don't. I just pass.
I love the indifference. Anthony, your readers suck.
Well, I'll take the question, and everyone's going to call me a racist. Everyone's going to call me a racist, but I think they should go after Gordon Hayward.
Hey!
Called it.
I don't really know if he's going to use if he's going to leave Utah, because he's probably very comfortable there, surrounded by other white people. But and they can offer him the most money, but that's a guy who I could see could be very good in our system, who could be maximized here. And you just want
Harrison.
Guys that can shoot. That's what I just want guys that can shoot the ball. Yes.
Harrison, his hair belongs on South Beach.
It does.
I'm sorry. It doesn't belong in South Beach. It belongs to Fort Lauderdale.
Yes. Right? That's a Fort Lauderdale haircut.
That is a Fort Lauderdale haircut. Like, he belongs in spring break. at Blondie's in Fort Lauderdale fighting bouncers. Like, that's where that guy belongs. With a tank top and board shorts.
I've been on this bandwagon forever. He is a Heat player.
Is he?
Yeah. Like he's a guy, like, he's Heat culture. Defense, gritty, grind, positionless.
You're just doing the white guy thing.
No, I'm not. But that's what, like, he's a really good defender, ball handler, shooter. He does everything on a court. He's like, he's honestly LeBron-like.
The interesting thing about free agency is they always talk about that extra year that his team can offer him. Like, the Jazz can offer him 5 years. But you have to think about, like, they always mention that money. It's like, oh, he can make X amount more money, not realizing that he's going to get a fifth year somewhere else. So you just have to find the difference between those two, realize that the Heat offer a lot plus no state income tax, and hope that they could sell him on leaving. I mean, I don't think it's that likely. Free agency just got a lot tougher with the new CBA, but that's kind of what you're hoping for with the money that you'll eventually be able to create by cutting Bosch.
I think to get a guy at his caliber, like a really good player leaving a decent team, is you're going to have to get two at the same time. You're going to have to get him to come with a commitment from another star, because they're going to want to contend.
Blake and Gordon?
Yeah. Like, I'm saying that it would have to be something like that for him, because why would he leave to come play with James Johnson?
Everyone's like, why would Blake leave the Clippers? Okay, let's say the Clippers have another just, you know, disappointing year where they don't get out of the second round. Can he look around that locker room and say, well, these guys can take me back here next year?
Well, CP3 is a free agent next season.
Yes, but I'm saying that whole team, can they look around at what they've built and say, yeah, let's run this back again next year? That's, I mean, they've kind of reached their limit, right?
Right.
I think it's unfortunate that they play in the West and the Warriors aren't a great matchup for them. But
no, it's not, because I hate their style of basketball. I hate that team. I hate Doc Rivers. No, the Clippers. It's great that they play in the West, because I never have to see them too far into the playoffs.
I think Doc Rivers might be the most overrated coach in sports right now.
I agree with you 100%. I don't think Doc is anything special.
Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens.
No, he's good.
No, Brad Stevens is overrated.
He's not overrated because he hasn't, like, they don't call him.
No, he is overrated.
But he's not as overrated as Doc.
Yeah, but he's not.
I think Doc is more overrated.
See, Doc is considered a good coach and he sucks. Brad Stevens is considered a great coach, but he's just, like, pretty good. So, yeah, Doc Rivers is way more overrated.
No, but Alf, I agree with you. I think the Clippers have kind of reached their max. I mean, they have all this money tied up in older guys. DeAndre Jordan's a good player, but you need so much more around him to, like, if he had went to the Mavericks, you would have seen that he's great on that team. So if Chris Paul decides to leave, or if Blake Griffin decides to leave, or if a year JJ Redick decides to go
or
elsewhere.
If they spend money on Carmelo Anthony. I want them to bring in Carmelo so bad, because that is the poison pill that will break up that team and have those good players go play.
I think he helps them out.
Yeah, I know, but the Melo situation in New York is so weird. Like, Melo doesn't want to leave to spite Phil Jackson, and Phil Jackson is constantly trashing him, which you'd think would lower his trade value. It's just at a point where when the contract negotiations were going on and you were like, this is Melo's chance to leave, and he decided to take the money, you're just not understanding why he took – I mean, you know why he took the money, but why did Phil why didn't Phil just let him leave? It didn't make any sense.
Alf, I kind of think, and Harrison, I think that DeAndre, in a way, I think giving him that money was a mistake, only because I just think that they can be better with a guy at the four that can shoot and Blake Griffin at the five. I think in this new NBA, they're trying to play two bigs. And I know they have a really, really, really good offense. I think it could be better.
Yeah, well, they locked DeAndre Jordan in his house to sign, you know, to not sign the Mavs contract.
I think that was a mistake, and I think that's not, and it's not a slight on DeAndre, because I think he's good, but I just think he's their limiting factor in this equation. And
I'm not doing in-depth Clippers talk.
Brian, next question. I was so ready for this.
Like, you were like, you wanted to really break down the Clippers.
Oh, my God. I wanted to talk about Carmelo at the four with Blake Griffin.
I just wanted to make fun of the Clippers. You took it too far. Let's move on.
No, but Gianni, I agree with you. Like, they made a mistake.
You guys can do another show where you guys break down the Clippers.
We'll do a post game. Next question. Last question.
We got two questions left. Okay. This one comes from at Yabo Lani. He's asking, what's your updated win total prediction for the Heat?
Oh my God, Chang, your questions stink. Oh my God. 45.
What's our record right now? We're 23.
Who cares? 45, George Sedano.
Well, no. There's 29 games left. We have 23 wins, so we only have to go 18-11 to finish 500. I'm going to stick with what I said before the season. I thought that he were going to be 40 and 42, so that's fine.
Alf,
Casey?
I'll go 38 wins.
That's realistic. Alf?
52.
That means they win every single
game.
Cassidy
Hubbard to join our show and wallow in our nonsense.
I think you just butchered her name.
Cassidy
Hubbard.
Yeah.
You said it right.
It sounded like you said
Hobbert before. Like
It was definitely breathy.
It was Frodo-ish.
Yeah.
Hobbit. Call me fat hair.
No, I just thought. I mean, not now. Yeah, I got my eye on you. I know.
All right, Brian, our final Anthony Chang crappy mailbag question.
This one's my favorite. So this one's coming from at Romeo Tabayo Young. He's gassing.
Wait. Who are these people?
No, I want to get into that after, because I want Brian to read their Twitter bios after.
Romeo Tabayo Young, like, who is that?
Brian, what is this?
Let me just ask the question first. We'll get to that next.
Okay, fine, yes.
Right, he's asking, looks like Deion Lippin, badly after D game, Schluna, have been allowed to go back after tweaking his uncle twice. Is it serious?
Wait, he said uncle instead of ankle?
He said uncle.
Is he asking for an injury update on Deion Waiters?
Yeah.
And he said all of that nonsense?
Yes.
Anthony Chang, you need new listeners. Come right for Heat Beat. Ours are funny.
He asked every single beat writer.
He's saying Spo shouldn't have let
That's all
Deion
he asked.
Play.
His entire Twitter feed is him asking about injury updates to every single Heat personality.
Brian, can you read this gentleman's Twitter bio for the
audience? He has no Twitter bio.
He doesn't have a Twitter bio? How many followers does he have?
He has 36.
Uh-oh. Probably all bots.
We all had 36 followers at work.
Oh, this one's so great. at Higher Heapy, because one man can't carry the whole team. It's 5-on-5. I guess this is why we're rolling coals. We get others involved. We win as team, not as one.
What accent are you making?
Are we making fun of, like, Gianni's tweets?
Are you making fun of something? Brian, what the hell's wrong with
it's
you?
It's Romeo Tabayo Young.
What accent were you speaking in?
Romeo. Romanian.
We have sponsors. Don't be offensive. Don't be an asshole.
That's Romanian.
Oh my
god.
You
went to Europe.
It sounds like some bum ass Italian accent. It might be.
I went to
the Italian restaurant and I asked for two pieces of toast. We're like, you better not piece on no toast, you son of a bitch.
God, you're so bad. I hate you. I want a divorce.
That was an Anthony Chang Cuban Asian accent.